president will speak later today, giving a policy speech about the Middle East, and I'm sure he will mention the ongoing effort in Libya, of which the U.S. is a part, through NATO. We wanted to get an update on what's happening with the civil war there in Libya, and we're joined live from Tripoli by John Burns, who's the London bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. John, we are seeing that the oil minister of Libya may have fled to neighboring Tunisia over the weekend. This is one of many high-level defections. Is that, in the end, destabilizing the Gaddafi regime?
Oh, it certainly is. There have been a string of defections, and the government has been pushed into the rather humiliating position of now you see it, now you don't. They part confirmed, part denied these defections. In the case of Mr. Ghanem, the oil minister, they say, well, he's gone to Vienna for oil talks. He'll go on to Egypt. But then they add, and I'm talking about very senior officials here, they add, well, if he wants to defect, it's his business. But they mention in passing that he has two children here, which is just slightly worrying.
Because there's a possible threat there. John Burns, you know, as the noose tightens here, and now the International Criminal Court has issued a warrant, we believe, for Muammar Gaddafi himself. If there is no place for Muammar Gaddafi to go, doesn't that encourage him to stay put?
Oh, I've no doubt that it does. Whether that would be reason enough not to indict him, I don't know. But there was, in any case, and I'm sure that the people at the ICC have looked at this, no indication whatsoever that he was prepared or ever would be prepared to go.
Yeah, well, we've also heard reports that there are actually an increasing number of pro-Gaddafi rallies in the capital today, in Tripoli. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, one gets the impression somewhat as the rebel forces push forward in the east, with the ICC indictment, with the NATO bombing of the leadership's compound in Tripoli, with morale very low indeed, that the only instrument that they feel they have left that is truly effective is what in the old days in the Soviet Union used to be called agitprop, propaganda, taking journalists out of a hotel in the middle of the night, literally in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, to see relatively small groups of people beating drums, waving Gaddafi portraits and cheering his name. And Libyan state television shows similar scenes at government-held towns all across central and western and southern Libya. You know, it doesn't, in truth, amount to very much.
That is John Burns reporting live from Tripoli. He's the London bureau chief for our partner in the New York Times. Thank you so much, John. We want to bring in Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent, now, because we want to have a discussion about the War Powers Act. And the reason we're having it is because the president, if he's going to follow the terms of the War Powers Act signed in 1973, he would have to get Congress to approve the war mission in Libya by tomorrow. Here's Senator Rand Paul.
I don't think there's any argument that Gaddafi's a bad guy, but this is a constitutional question over whether or not the president has the right to unilaterally commit a nation to war or whether, as the Constitution says, that Congress should have a say in it.
Well, it may be what the Constitution says, Todd, but it's regularly ignored. It's almost de rigueur for the president to pay no attention to the War Powers Act whatsoever. So why would we expect that President Obama would care?
Well, you're going a little far, Celeste. Other presidents have ignored the War Powers Act. It's true. Some have paid lip service to it. Others have gotten congressional authorization for wars, maybe a little late after the 60-day deadline. Look, what we're talking about here is the 60-day deadline within the War Powers Act that says the president can put troops into hostilities in the American national interest, but he has to go back to Congress.
It's a joke,
60
Todd.
Days.
Todd, it's a joke. The yeah, Constitution clearly says Congress has the power to declare war and not the president. And the War Powers Act is not a constitutional amendment. It was a congressional joke in 1973, and it still is. The atomic bomb has changed the Constitution. Gary Wills pointed that out in his book. This is a moot point. It drives me crazy whenever Rand Paul brings up a War Powers Act. It makes me want to throw things.
Congress has not used its power to declare war, John, since World War II, and therein lies the problem. Many, many lawmakers thinking that Congress has completely ceded its authority here under the Constitution, or Constitution Article 1, to, if not declare war, John, at least have a say.
I'm settling down. Don't worry. I'm not.
Well, it's okay. No, because John, a lot of people in Washington feel exactly as you do, and therein lies the debate. The question is, will this president comply with the terms of the War Powers Act? The answer is no. The deadline is tomorrow. The Senate's not going to pass a resolution authorizing use of force in Libya by tomorrow, and the House isn't even in town. So if anything's going to happen on this, it's not going to happen before next week. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Barack Obama will have violated the War Powers Act. Now, next week, what's going to happen? You heard from Rand Paul there. He's leading a group of six or seven senators who wrote to the president yesterday to say, Mr. President, are you going to comply with the law or not? Obviously, the answer is no. They want to try to push a war powers resolution by next week. They don't control the floor of the Senate, and now he's threatening to take the president to the Supreme Court to get a decision. Is he abiding by the law or not?
Well, what is his motivation? I mean, why would he even want to at this point, even bring it up?
I think the motivation for Rand Paul is in principle.
Motivation for President Obama to care about, to even go to Congress and try to get approval at this point.
Well, to even care? Well, to comply with the law, I suppose. Look, other presidents, after Kosovo, President Clinton ordered troops into Kosovo, was a little late on the War Powers Act. I believe he came back after 73 days, not 60.
And what did he get impeached for? What did he get impeached for,
right,
Todd? Yeah, you know?
Point taken.
Yeah, right.
All right. So at this point, do you think it's just a political argument that the Republicans are going to be making a lot of noise about the War Powers Act, but in the end it's going to be a tempest in a teapot?
It's not just Republican, Celeste. And by the way, we're not just talking about the pie-in-the-sky constitutionality of the War Powers Act. Let's all obey the law. Congress also wants answers on Libya itself. What's the mission? What's the end game? There are still U.S. ships in the Mediterranean. There are still U.S. drones. There are still U.S. personnel in command of NATO, even though NATO's leading the operation. And we're still spending money. We're up to $750 billion now. So there are questions about Libya specifically, and a congressional resolution limiting the president or leaning on the president or authorizing the president is something a lot of members care about. They're going to be watching the president's speech later today from the State Department for any clear message, any clear statement on what the end game is in Libya, what the mission is, and whether or not regime change is really our policy. It's our political policy. It has not been our military policy, even though NATO has been dropping bombs on Gaddafi's headquarters every couple of days.
And if they don't hear the right stuff in that speech, some D.C. cop's going to go over there and write the president a ticket for violating the War Powers Act.
They'll do it with a feathered quill on parchment, John, to make it constitutional.
All right, Todd Zwillick, always deftly handling the sarcasm of my co-host. He's also our Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thank you so much, Todd.
My pleasure, guys.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.